good to have you with us this morning at Blue Valley Baptist Church, those of you here this morning at the Antioch campus, and those who are right now joining us from the Ridgeview campus. We welcome everyone. We don't get too many opportunities to be able to gather together via video, but we want to do so on special occasions. And today is a day that we want to celebrate something special that God has been doing in the life of Blue Valley Baptist Church. I want to start by sharing with you a really significant event in my life when I was 15 years old. My grandfather passed away. It's the first time I'd ever lost anybody. And we got together in my grandmother's little ramshackle house in northwest Arkansas, aunts and uncles gathering together. And while we sat there around the living room, such as the living room was, people began to tell stories about my family that I had never before heard. And that was a really encouraging thing to me in the midst of that difficult time. My favorite family story I learned sitting there in that living room, it was when my Uncle Marvin was a little boy. He hid in the feed barrel that my grandpa used to reach into to feed chickens. And real late at night one night, Grandpa was coming through to feed the chickens, and Marvin grabbed him. Grandpa said things I can't repeat, but that is one of my favorite family stories. I learned that, and learned that that was a part of my family, and it helped me connect with my family in a new and richer way. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to tell our family story. We're going to tell the family story of Blue Valley Baptist Church. This is a story that some of you are very familiar with because you lived it. And then this is going to be a story some of you are hearing for the first time. And it may be easy for you to think, well, because I wasn't here when all that happened, that doesn't belong to me. Well, yes, it does. The story I'm about to tell you belongs to you. And it is because of this story that the church that you're a part of, that you felt led by God to join, exists. Now, because it is story time, and because I am starting to get old, I get to sit down and share the story with you today. I want to start kind of in the middle of things. I want to start with a fall day in 2007, a day that is commemorated on the rock that is out in the patio area of the Antioch campus of Blue Valley. Everybody here has seen it. Everybody here at Antioch has seen it. Most of you probably have seen it at Ridgeview. If you've yet to be on the Antioch campus, we encourage you to swing by and just take a look at it. Just this morning, I saw somebody out there looking at it. You could tell they had the look on their face. What is all of that about? Here's what that plaque says. We've got a picture of it on the screens. The plaque says, "This stone commemorates the day when Blue Valley Baptist Church celebrated God's wonderful provision after a painful but necessary time of transition in the church. On that day, October 7, 2007, the church rejoiced in the transition's completion and embraced the future God had planned for it. The smaller stones represent those who were present on that day, who celebrated what God had done and looked forward to what God would do through Blue Valley Baptist Church." Blue Valley Baptist Church began to be formed in the summer of 1978. Roy and Katie Haymeyer decided that they were going to open up their house out in this neck of the woods, and they joined forces with some other couples from the area just see if there might be an opportunity to start a church out here. So they hosted Vacation Bible School in their home just for kids that were around there. And over 80 kids attended Vacation Bible School in their home that particular week. Let you know that the underpinnings in the start of our church were started by crazy people. That's what it tells you. We were started by crazy people. But they were so encouraged about all of that that they began to work and decided that they were going to establish a church. So in the fall of 1978, they established Blue Valley Baptist Church and found the only place to meet that they could find. The basement of a bar, honestly, on Metcalf, the basement of a bar called the Grub and Pub, met in the basement. They literally would have to mop up beer that had seeped through the floor the night before to be able to have church. That's where Blue Valley Baptist Church started. It began to thrive almost immediately. Got the opportunity to purchase the land that the Antioch campus sits on Very shortly after that, the families themselves sacrificed to be able to purchase that land. Other churches in the community, including the Presbyterian Church, gave us money so that we could buy this land. Part of the reason that the Blue Valley Baptist Church is helping Cornerstone Presbyterian established is because some of those people helped us get going back in 1978. And so they helped us buy the land that we were on, and Blue Valley began to grow. There weren't many people out here at that point in time, but Blue Valley began to grow slowly but surely. It just kind of crept slowly and steadily up. But some things began to kind of show in our church that were going to lead ultimately to a really difficult time. Some relationship fractures began to emerge. And whose fault those relationship fractures are depend entirely, I've discovered after 10 years of knowing this story, on your perspective at the time. And frankly, how it started is irrelevant. Fact of the matter is, some relationship fractures emerged, and it just erupted full-blown into church conflict in the fall of 2005. And as a result, hundreds of people who had started attending Blue Valley Baptist Church left. They didn't leave a big group of them to start another church. It wasn't a split. It's just people just fed up and hurt and angry, just left in hundreds of different directions here in South Johnson County. Some landed in other churches, some never landed in another church again. That's what conflict does. Now, the church at that point had a decision to make. Those that remained had a decision to make. Most churches that are left in that kind of circumstances will choose to blame the people that left for the problems. They'll say, well, the problem was everybody else's. Blue Valley Baptist Church, those that remained, did something very, very important to its future. They owned the problem. They said, you know what? We have to have ownership in some way for those relationship fractures that emerged. And so they began to work on how to fix all of that. Went through a really heart-wrenching, difficult process that lasted well over a year. And once they felt like they had kind of put their house in order, they began to look for a pastor because there really wasn't anybody left on staff at that point in time. That's when our paths crossed. When they first contacted me in the winter of 2006-2007, I told them politely at first I wasn't interested. They asked again. I told them politely again I wasn't interested. They asked again, and I said not so politely that I absolutely was not interested in coming to this church that had just absolutely been gutted. But they kept coming and kept talking to me. And so finally, Julie and I agreed to a meeting that we made sure that they understood was not an interview. We said, nobody can bring paper. Nobody can have any questions. And I lived in a rural blue-collar town in northeastern Oklahoma, and they kept wanting me to come to Overland Park so that I would be dazzled by Johnson County, and I refused. I said, no. I said, I would meet you in Fort Scott. And so we ate at a lame restaurant in Fort Scott, Kansas, and went in coolly friendly just to hear one another's story. And that meeting lasted 3 hours. And when Julie and I left to get in our car, we'd been doing ministry long enough to know that our goose was cooked. We knew that we weren't going to be able to pass this off for a while. And that threw me into one of the most difficult seasons I've ever been in, spiritually and emotionally. I literally have never wrestled with God more intently about what it was I was supposed to do. I did not know what I was supposed to do. I could not sleep. Julie will testify to that. I couldn't eat. I lost about 8 pounds during the process. I would spend Tuesdays during my lunch hour fasting and praying and seeking the Lord at a little lake that was outside of our community. I didn't know what to do. Many a night, I would tell Julie before we went to sleep, I'm going to call that church and tell them, you need to look elsewhere. We're not coming. And then I would wake up the next morning being every bit as conflicted as I had ever been. I went to sleep on March the 7th, 2007, dreading the next day. The next day, we had to get up very, very early for a flight to a conference Julie and I were attending. I wasn't looking forward to that kind of early call. I had been deprived of sleep for several weeks at that point anyway, and the prospect of getting up at 3:45 in the morning did not appeal to me, and I went to sleep very conflicted about the whole thing. I woke up groggily, as one does at 3:45 the next morning, and as soon as my feet hit the tile, March the 8th, 2007, as soon as my feet hit the tile in our bathroom, the Lord spoke to me as clearly as He's ever spoken to me in my life. Not audibly, but it did have sentence structure. And He said to me, "I've prepared you your entire life to be the pastor of that church." I didn't tell Julie what had just happened to me because, quite frankly, you can hear anything at 3:45 in the morning. But while we were coming in for a landing in Tampa, Florida, I thought, you know, I need to tell somebody what happened in case we die. So, a great flyer. So I leaned over to Julie. I said, "This morning at 3:45, God called me to be the pastor of that church." I had not been issued an invitation. I hadn't visited Johnson County at that point. I had not seen the church. I'd only had one in-person meeting with this team, lots of back and forth via email and phone conversations. But I just knew, I knew I was coming. And 10 years ago, this weekend was my first Sunday to lead a worship service to be the pastor here at Blue Valley. Now, when I got here, you know, we had been through a very difficult time, and there really wasn't anybody left. I'd come from a larger church and a full staff. I walked in here, and for 45 minutes, I was the only person in the building my first day. Our staff consisted of Jeff Guth, who was our full-time custodian then, still is today. His wife, Andrea Guth, was part-time custodian, and then she also helped in the office. A sweet, sweet lady named Bobby Jo Oatman was our administrative assistant in the office, kept my head above water for a long period of time. And then Renee Shanahan was also on staff. She continues to serve as our paid childcare coordinator. We had some volunteers that were leading various ministries. Rhonda Allen had been a volunteer leading the preschool ministry here at Blue Valley for a long period of time, volunteering 60 or 70 hours a week to put together the great preschool ministry that we have. A lady named Janice Oyer helped lead our children's ministry and was volunteering in that capacity. Tina Reagan was a lady who was leading our student ministry at the period of time, and that was it. Mark Felton, a volunteer, still plays guitar here in the rhythm section at the Antioch campus, was leading our worship, and that's what we had at that point in time. So we needed to find a worship pastor, and that was the first order of business. And so I began to look, and it was really kind of demotivating to get out there and look for somebody who would come to serve our church. But early on in the process, the Mullins family, who still attend here, had given me the name of their worship pastor when they used to live in Texas. His name was John Holland. They had given me that resume, that name. I'd promptly forgotten it for like 2 months. And then they said, "By the way, have you ever contacted him?" And I said, "No, I haven't. I'll do so immediately." So I immediately called John, and we set up an opportunity to meet at a Diamond Shamrock gas station in Atoka, Oklahoma, that also had a Mazzio's pizza and I think a Taco Bell attached to it. So there is a theme of fine dining that comes through in putting the staff together here at Blue Valley. We connected, we had the same heart, and in August, after my arrival in May, he came. And then it became time to look for a minister to students. And the Ulichny family, who are no longer here, they moved to North Carolina many, many years ago, gave me the name of the man who had been their youth pastor when they lived in Arizona. His name was Darren Ray. So I got in contact with Darren Ray. He was up in Omaha. I met him. I've got a personal space, like a real, pretty significant personal space. And when I met Darren, he hugged me. He'd never seen me before in life. And I was like, "Dude, man, this is really uncomfortable for a guy like me." But he hugged me. And in spite of that, I began to be impressed with what God was doing in his life. But began to talk to Darren about maybe not being our youth minister, but being being in charge of Sunday school, our discipleship ministry. And he agreed that that was a better fit for him. I said, well, do you have anybody you would suggest to us for student ministry? And he said, well, a guy I work with named John Wesley Crockett would be someone that I would recommend to you. And so I began to talk to Jay Wes and Rebecca shortly after that. And then in all of that time, we had believed that God was really doing something in our young families, and we needed to have someone who would lead children's ministry. And Harriet Bennett, who still attends here with her husband Jerry and family, her name was given to me. And so all three of these positions came together at roughly the same time, and all of them were affirmed by our church on October 7, 2007, the Rock Day. And on that day, we kind of felt like that was the end of the wilderness for us. You know, we had come through a difficult time as a church, and now we had a full staff and the beginnings of what was becoming a vibrant ministry, and we just felt like we had come through the wilderness. And so that morning, I preached from the book of Joshua. And I talked to our church family about that time when the people of Israel moved into the promised land and how God had parted the waters for them to be able to go, the waters of the Jordan, for them to be able to go to the promised land. And when they all got to the other side, he said, before I close the water, I want you, if you would please, to go down. I want you to drag some big rocks from the riverbed. And I want you to put them on the bank. And I want you to place them there to remember when people ask you that I was faithful to you in the wilderness and I am going to be faithful to you in the promised land. And so that day we brought the rock out here on stage. The stage we did not know for certain would hold it, but it did. And the small rocks that were there were placed by our people. Everybody got rocks when they came in. And we had this opportunity to lay our stone of remembrance at the stone of remembrance. And some people even got the opportunity. I think everybody got the opportunity to get two and they could keep one. I still have mine in my office. And so that's what the rock means. The rock was that day when we felt like we'd come through the wilderness. And it had been, it's been a really, really incredible 10 years since that time. Our church worship attendance has grown by 500 people. Since 2007. Our Sunday school attendance has increased 400 people since 2007. We have baptized, by the latest data that I have, 330 people professing faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in the last 10 years, the last of whom I believe was Carson Scott, our campus pastor, Steve Scott's son at the Ridgeview campus just a few weeks ago. God has been really, really good to us. We have sent people out to do mission work both locally and around the world. We have merged with another church. We have launched another campus. I mean, it has really, really, really been good. I can tell you in 51 years of living and in 31 years of doing vocational ministry that the last 10 years have been the most fulfilling years of my life. They really and truly have. I have never felt more certain of what God is calling me to do than I have been being a part of what God is doing at Blue Valley Baptist Church. But you know what? Success, however you want to define it or experience it, is a dangerous thing. You understand that? It is a dangerous thing. And Moses knew that. Moses, right before he turned over leadership of the people of Israel, to Joshua, right before they entered into the promised land, was used by God to issue all of the people of Israel a warning. And it's recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to read to you several verses from Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. It says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them. And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. I think there has been a tendency from me on down to look at what God is doing in the life of our church and just think it's normal. To just think, this is the way it is, and to become very, very comfortable with just kind of how we are. You know, when people ask me about Blue Valley when I first came here 10 years ago, they said, describe the church that you're going to for me. I'd say, I never have been around a group of people who were more certain of their own sense of destiny. I mean, when you walked into Blue Valley, everybody, top to bottom, believed God was going to do some really, really cool things in this church. Everybody believed that. And then that began to kind of slowly transition to where everybody just kind of expected it. And then it reached a point where we kind of think, you know what, let's just sit back and see what God does. Somebody asked me, a denominational employee 2 months ago, asked me, what is your outreach plan at Blue Valley Baptist Church? You know what I told him? And this is the gospel truth. This is not only the gospel truth what I told him, this is true of us. I said, well, our outreach plan is that we open our doors each and every Sunday on both campuses and we see if anybody new comes. That's our outreach plan. Now, we've been doing some things on both campuses to really penetrate the community. I'm very excited about what the Ridgeview campus is doing with Rolling Ridge Elementary and reaching out to a community of people there that need the gospel. Very excited what the Antioch campus is doing to form a partnership with Blue Valley High School and to see what's going to come of that as we begin to make inroads for Christ in our community. Excited about that. But by and large, folks, by and large, we open our doors on Sunday and we see if anybody new comes. In other words, we're eating from vineyards that we did not plant, and we are living in houses that we did not build, and we are just thinking, I guess we deserve all this. And we don't. You know what? Christian history has been ongoing now for over 2,000 years. It existed a whole long time before there ever was a Blue Valley Baptist Church, and it will be going on a lot longer than Blue Valley Baptist Church will ever be in existence. God doesn't need Blue Valley to do his kingdom work, but he's given us an opportunity to really be a part of something special. So I want to give you three things to think about as we are looking through what God is doing and thinking about what God is doing here at Blue Valley. First, don't take God's goodness to our church for granted. Don't take God's goodness to our church for granted. Moses cautioned Israel against the enjoyments and fruits of God's blessings in an entitled way, thinking, hey, we deserve all of this, because it would lead them to the false conclusion that they had somehow earned it, that they were somehow deserving of it. Sometimes when good things begin to happen, you begin to believe your own press and kind of carry some arrogance with you about what people are saying, thinking, yeah, I really am that special. One of my favorite memes that I've seen over the last 10 years is a picture of Captain Kirk sitting in the captain's chair of the Starship Enterprise with that cocksure grin on his face, and it says, I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of how awesome I am. Well, I think sometimes that's been a tendency for me. I think sometimes it's been a tendency for our staff. I think sometimes it's been a tendency for us as a church to just think, yeah, we really are pretty awesome. We're one of the 5 or 10 largest Southern Baptist churches on both sides of the state line. We're pretty awesome. We give more to missions than almost every church in Kansas and Nebraska. Yeah, we're pretty awesome. We go on and on about ourselves. And what we begin to do is to take everything for granted and think somehow we're responsible for what God has done. But folks, God hasn't done what he's done at Blue Valley Baptist Church these last 10 years because of how awesome we are. He has done what he has done at Blue Valley these last 10 years because of how good he is. Because of how good he is. It's not every church's opportunity to grow numerically. I pastored a wonderful church in western Oklahoma, in a town of 4,000, in a county of 13,000. That church has operated within a real tight window of attendance for 70 years. The community itself hasn't grown. The county hasn't grown. They're not going to be a big church by the standards that we might measure that in suburbia. But they're being faithful doing what God has called them to do. So what does faithfulness look like at Blue Valley Baptist Church? I really do think it looks like us reaching more and more people. Why? Well, I have a hard time believing that God would have positioned us where he's positioned us on both campuses and resourced us like he's resourced us on both campuses if he did not expect us to penetrate the homes of the thousands of people who are moving continually to Johnson County. God has put us in a position where faithfulness will in all likelihood look like us growing larger than we are. But that does not mean that we can take all of that for granted and open our doors and see who new shows up. We've got to take responsibility for the lostness that exists around us as individual members of Blue Valley Baptist Church, which leads me to point two. Ask God to replace complacency with urgency. Complacency with urgency. 412,500 people in Johnson County are not in church today. 412,500 people in Johnson County are not in church today. 75% of Johnson County is functionally unchurched, meaning that they may have a place to go on Christmas, they may have a place to go on Easter, but by and large, they're not coming. All of those homes that you drove by this morning, where the cars were in the driveway, are populated by people who haven't given Jesus the first thought in a long, long time. And you say, well, that's the reason I joined Blue Valley, is so that they can come up with a plan that I can celebrate and fund to reach those people. Well, that there's a Hebrew word for it. It's baloney. That's not how the kingdom works. You see, God has put you in a home in Johnson County strategically to penetrate the lostness that is around you. You know who's responsible for reaching the people around my home? Derek and Julie Lynch. You're responsible for reaching the people around your home. And then, as you do the kingdom work out there, you have a place called Blue Valley that can resource you and then help you integrate those people in a faith community and disciple them. But you've got to start caring that 412,500 people, 75% of Johnson County, may be bound for hell. That's got to stick with you somewhere. The final thing is this. Celebrate what has happened, but strive for what is to come. These last 10 years have been really, really good. I've already said they've been some of the most fulfilling of my entire life. But you know what? If we just kind of sit back and take it easy, we're going to have the life cycle of most churches. Boom, just storm the gates. And then you normalize things. What does that mean? It means you begin to put the systems in place that allow you to continue to grow. And then you perform. You get to where you're just kind of optimizing things and you're coasting along. Then you decline. Storm, norm, perform, decline. And the thing about decline is that no one ever knows they started. You know, last year, we reported to our convention the highest worship attendance we've ever had, the highest Sunday school attendance that we have ever had, the fourth largest number of baptisms that we have ever had. I mean, all of those things look really, really good. You think, well, this isn't about us. Folks, I'm telling you that without even realizing it, you could be a part of what will very soon be the good old days. And God's got too much in store, I think, for Blue Valley, for this to be characterized as the good old days. My first Sunday here 10 years ago this weekend, right here at the front, which actually was not where the front is now, it was somewhere back here, we signed a covenant together. I signed it, members of our church signed it. It's hanging in my office at the annex. I would encourage you to stop by sometime and just look at it. What we basically did is we covenanted with one another that I would faithfully serve you, and that I would listen to God's voice with you, and that you would support me, and that we would faithfully serve God together. And we've kept that covenant for these last 10 years. Today, I want a covenant again, a covenant renewal, where we remember that God has been faithful to this church, and we thank God for putting us where we are, and we look forward to what God has in store.